Welcome, one and all, to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. We are back once again after taking Con Bravo off, and I gotta tell you, I missed this. I missed being with you guys. Hold on, something's not right here.
Lane, what's with the helmet?
This is part of my new pink caster persona.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you trying to pull a little Amazons on us? Are you trying to make a more mature version of yourself that's darker and edgier?
Maybe.
Or are you trying to be Darth Laney?
No. Ow, the edge.
I love that meme.
How about the edge?
Cue the roll call.
We're live!
Zenkai Gan!
Connect.
Loading.
Watching all the anime, Webcaster, Show Radio,
Equipment Wielder, Bluecaster, Cheetah Zazil, Loyal and Loud, Pinkcaster, Lane,
Explorer from the Unknown, Yellowcaster, Auto Guard,
One Little Spark of Courage, Dreamcaster, Global Song Perga,
From Royal to Ranger, Orangecaster, Noble.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
I love how that's literally echoing everybody in the room and not just Lane.
Yep.
We are all inside Lane now.
That stays in.
No.
Welcome to Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Hello, everybody.
I forgot to check the episode name and number.
We're episode 160.
Oh, we're 160. Yep. Wow.
And you know what that means? Only 9 episodes until episode 100. Yes.
Only 10 episodes away from my 100th debut on Cast Ranger.
Your 100th debut.
My 100.
Your debut.
You mean 100 episodes since your debut?
I think so.
Have we really been doing this for that long?
Great, you spoiled episode 200's title.
I will find a way to Carter Pewterschmidt your ass.
That's
piece of shit.
To those who just heard our roll call, so you might have heard that my name was different. So I've decided to just abandon the name and handle Lightred altogether.
You might say you've cast off.
Okay, like yes, I know no one ever really calls you that on the show, and like nobody really like calls me that like as a nickname or anything.
I love how you're making this grandiose hand gesture.
Whatever. Anyway, so I'm no longer Pinkcaster Lightred. I will now be known as Pinkcaster Lane. So
in caps.
In capital letters, yes. I've changed my Twitter handle, my Xbox name, which is now Lane1.
I've changed my address. I had to change my name on my driver's license from Lane to Lane!
Yep. Yes, Emily.
Why are you not Shin Lightred?
Or Shin Lane.
Man. Shin Link.
Shin Lane!
I don't know, that was horrible.
Ichi, you're going to have to make a new Ultra Ranger opening with his new roll call in it. Thanks,
sorry.
Lane.
Ultra Ranger has a roll
call? Lane!
Yeah, it's actually
Lightred!
No, fuck you. Lightred is dead. I killed him! I threw him into space!
Nobody cared who I was. Until
everybody Noble's here.
Yeah, Noble and Raven are here over Discords.
Hi.
Yes.
Emily's here as well.
Causing discord.
I'm here from the start instead of popping in halfway through.
You popped in at the right time. It was like perfect.
You people papu popped in.
Yeah.
I fucking hate myself for making that joke.
Hate you too because I was going to make that joke.
Sorry.
So, can I briefly talk about my thoughts on episode 39 of Exit?
Yes.
Well, before you do that, take us in, me. Now you may speak.
All right. So, my quick thoughts on episode 39.
This is my essay.
Yeah, it was okay.
I have to show my work.
This isn't Ultra Ranger where you have to show your work.
You still have to show your work here.
Yeah. It was an okay episode.
That's it?
Yeah. There are things that I have to question. It's like, reep, reep. Oh, there's an emergency. I gotta go check it out.
I thought you said, reep, reep.
Yes. Whoa.
Changing my ringtone now.
That's what I thought it was.
Womp, womp.
But it gets So then it cuts to, like, prolonged Graphite in the forest. Krona shows up, fights them. Emu and Poppy get there. Graphite's already injured. And it's like, wait, so what was the whole entire point of that other scene? If you're just... That and, like, Emu and Pilad talking to each other from, like, just two different shots. It's like, it bugged me. I'm like, just be in the same shot.
No,
it's not like you're
it.
The same
I thought,
character.
I thought that was pretty
no,
artsy.
Because whenever you saw either character, the other one was talking while the camera was on the other person. Like, I like that.
That
was
that
a nice
was,
shot.
I thought it was neat.
I thought it was pretty artsy.
Yeah.
Could have been a bit better.
Because you wanted to see, like, you know, we need to see Pilad's reaction to what Emu was saying to him. And then,
well, then have him be, like, facing away from him.
The idea is because they're opposite sides of the same person, technically, it's like you're watching someone be schizophrenic with themselves. It's like watching a scene with Gollum talking to himself.
Oh, that's it! Ooh, good analogy.
No, Pilad who stays dead in this show?
He didn't
show.
Die, though. Emu absorbed him.
Yeah, yeah, we find out about that in this episode. But
I was right. Theory version A.
Yeah, no, I was right, too, so...
Theory A from last episode was correct.
I had to watch 3 episodes of X-Aid today. And 2 episodes of Key Ranger.
Well, we're going to talk about it later, but for the purpose of this episode, I rewatched X-Aid's episodes 34 to 41 to formulate a discussion topic we will be getting into a little bit later.
Well, starting this week, I'm going to have to be watching X-Aid from beginning to end so that I can, like, do my full, like, actual reasons of, like, my opinion at the end of the show.
Christ. Okay.
Are we just going to gloss over the fact that Ichi said, take us in me?
Ha! Ew.
Yeah, a few more dirty.
Emily's the comma. The comma is present.
The comma?
The comma?
The comma, chameleon.
Fuck y'all. Actually, I was thinking of the comma Toa of Fire from Bionicle.
High five.
Anyways. I realized a couple things talking with people on Facebook over the last few weeks.
Uh-huh.
So, my...
People are idiots.
Yeah,
well, yes, but some idiots made me realize some shit.
We overthink the show so much.
At the same time, there's a couple points that I was missing. So, previously, I've been complaining about the fact that it's impossible for Pilad to die because he's a complete bugster. Turns out, I was wrong. If you think about it, for Pilad to be a complete bugster, his host would have to die, and Emu is still here, which means Pilad is not a complete bugster, so it is possible for him to be deleted. My second point that I've been complaining about is, if Masamune wanted Pilad deleted, why didn't he just push the button on Kamurocho Chronicle? I figured out the reason why. It's because he is not a bugster attached to Kamurocho Chronicle. The puzzle and fighter powers are attached to Kamurocho Chronicle, but Pilad is not the bugster of Perfect Puzzle or Knockout Fighter.
Yeah,
he's the bugster of Mighty Action C.
So
that's why Masamune has not been able to actually delete Pilad, because he's not technically a bugster part of Kamurocho Chronicle.
So who technically is the bugster of
Perfect Puzzle and Knockout Fighter?
Yeah.
Their bugsters have not been revealed.
Using the Kamen Rider Chronicle character screen, it's the Perfect Knockout and the Perfect Puzzle and
Fighter
Knockout
Gamer
Fighter.
And Puzzle Gamer are shown.
Yeah, they're Rider forms.
Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to clarify that because I know I've been complaining a lot about it, but it makes sense now.
Yeah, no, he's so like. These notes are so important that he literally put those first two in, like, red.
Yeah.
Like, they're in red. Just, Pilad is not complete!
No, just, there, I finished my letter.
If you want to see my notes, you can check them out, anyone who follows our Patreon.
Oh, don't plug our Patreon about notes.
I will plug it in this computer.
I'm not gonna lie, I do that as well. About, like, the Ultra Ranger notes on Patreon.
Yeah. So, this episode started really weird, episode 40. It starts with Masamune singing with the words
garden.
Justice and restart.
Justice. Restart.
And I'm like, is that Cronus' theme song? Are you singing your own theme song?
He would do that.
Can we have this song, please?
No. Now I just want Masamune to sing The Rainbow Connection.
Remember who his son is.
Remember when writers used to sing their own insert themes?
No.
Weren't those the days?
They still sometimes do that for Pretty Clear. Sorry.
But Ryder doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, it's like, then you have...
It's been a while.
You have Hiro, Taiga, Kiria, and Dan.
I just love that, all of them made it all the way to this fight, and then once they're all standing there, Dan decides, wait, I didn't agree to this.
No, I'm just wondering, I'm like, did you guys know where he was?
No, and then while they're fighting...
Why did they all gather here?
No, while they're fighting, Cronus, like, he, like, game overs Genmu, and then, like, he pauses, but then, like, it's in the middle of, like, Genmu coming out of the continue pipe, so you just see him, like, halfway through the pipe.
And for some reason, the pipe spawns in the middle of the fucking sky.
So we can get that really awesome shot of what is essentially dangerous zombie in the middle of a Ryder kick.
I like to think Dan can just put the pipe wherever he wants. Like, that's just
this thing. This is the first time it's been somewhere off the ground, though.
And then just Dan immediately is just like, fuck this, bye. Just warps out.
Which makes you think, why doesn't he spawn the pipe under the dude?
Or, here's a thought.
Rising uppercut out of the fucking pipe.
Depending, we don't know what the range of his, like, respawn area is. Couldn't he, in theory, just, like, stand next to the Genmu Corporation building, kill himself and respawn in Masamune's office, so just take the gadgets and leave?
Oh my god, using this game suicide technique.
All I'm saying is, if they release a figure art, like, yeah, showing on the Discord chat right now, if they release a figure art of level 0 Genmu, it needs to come with the continue pipe.
Absolutely.
Like, that would be amazing.
Which they already have the mold for the Mario pipe, so it would be really easy.
Oh yeah, my buddy Reggie's been making continue pipes, they're incredible.
According to people in our Discord chat, they're saying they are releasing this.
Oh, cool. Ooh. Fantastic.
So, I like how no one in this whole ensemble of people, like, they're all just like, Emu, you killed Pallad, now you can't transform, why'd you do that, blah, blah, blah. No one has actually tried to verify if that's the case or not. Emu's just sitting there letting them yell at him, and he immediately hands over Muteki to them.
It's like, oh, since you can't transform, hand over Muteki. Just slides it across the table. It's like, well, he's...
I gotta say, Emu has become a surprisingly convincing actor.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the context of the story, not just the actor of the character.
If only he's been like this for the entire series.
He was convincing when he was following up on Kiria's lies. He's gotten a lot more chutzpah just in general whenever he needs to get serious. And he's played along with this just for the sake of...
People dying.
Like, he deceived them about killing Pallad for some reason.
Because he wanted Pallad to, like,
because they experience wanted the yeah, like, they wanted Masamune the to think death. That they wanted Masamune to think that there was now officially no one who could beat him because everyone else only has that 10-second bullshit timer.
Well, sure, but wanting to convince Cronus that Pallad was for reals dead. He didn't need to keep the truth from the rest of CR. He could have just told them, yeah, guys, don't worry, I got Pallad. He's, like, inside my
Pokeball.
Because
they wanted to have a dramatic reveal that, oh, Pallad's still alive.
And Masamune makes, like, a comment going, like, I'm going to replace you writers with actors. Because you guys all suck.
Because he wants the writers to be part of Kamen Rider Chronicle, and they've done nothing but fight him the whole way.
Thus, you guys will be so important. Oh, yeah, I have a meeting.
I would love to see, like, an alternate reality where the writers actually do get replaced by, like, Genmu-hired actors.
And they all suck.
You're the Olsen twins. You're that weird guy from Boogie Nights.
Yeah, Olsen twins are the new Mighty Brothers. The Mighty Sisters.
Mighty Olsen!
Honestly, my favorite part of episode 40 was Masamune talking on the, like, talking to the... executive or the overseas guy.
Oh, Johnny Maxima? God, that fucking name.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, not like him meeting him in person, just ring secretary. Yeah, you have a call about the overseas of Kamen Rider Chronicle? Alright. Puts the other guy on the line. It's like, seems so real. I love it. 10 out of 10. So, Oscar worth me.
So Cronus is fighting everyone and he starts pausing and I just love how, like, Genmu starts, like, shielding the Muteki gadget with his hand to stop Cronus from stealing it. And eventually he's just like, nope, fuck it, gotta protect this, fuck everyone else, and bails.
Yep.
Oh, he loves
this
that
toy
gadget.
Is more important than your lives.
Well, yeah, because it's the thing that'll save everybody.
No, which is fine. That's perfectly within his character.
Aside
I just thought it was hilarious.
But why didn't he? Yes, I get it that the fucking thing was the fucking key to the fucking universe, but you still could have fucking boop-a-dooped out the rest of the guys before they got fucked over by
Garb,
by Cronus.
You just made a very valid point.
What?
Like, why doesn't Taiga or someone just take a gun and just shoot Masamune? What the fuck is he gonna do then?
Because they're doctors and they don't take lives.
Literally,
he just went
one
through
of them
as
isn't
a hero.
A doctor.
Nobody's saying that they have to kill him.
Just kneecap him.
Just shoot him in the kneecap. That sucks.
No, that's like,
they don't
what are you gonna
kneecap?
Do? Kill me? No. I don't kill cripples.
They can live
no,
without
no,
their
no.
knee. I forget
premium
where it's
bent.
I forget where it's from. It's just like they can live without their kneecaps. my kneecap! Oh, you know what? It was red versus blue.
Oh.
I'd love if someone made like a real life pistol that looks like the Gashikon Magnum. That'd be awesome.
That'd be weird.
Oh, got it. Yes.
Just
premium
like...
Bandai. Premium Bandai Cronus with crutches.
Oh.
No.
Again, nobody carries around an actual gun.
Cronus, old crone
in Japan,
form.
Japan, it's mostly like illegal to have them.
So Cronus pauses after unleashing critical judgment, and like in the middle of the explosion, he apparently steals everyone's drivers and bails.
See, no, this is the thing that I've always noticed ever since like we found out that he could like pause. I like to think that just during pause, we have no like you know. Notice of time that's gone by of how long he's paused for, so he might have just grabbed their drivers, put them away, came back, and then unpaused again. It was
no.
like, ha 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 ha!
Which is fine. I'm
you know what it is?
Hmm?
It's the fucking walking up the stairs from part 3. Oh, ha ha! You moved down 2 flights of stairs. Ha ha ha! I'm
oh, yeah, from JoJo.
Ha, ha.
By the way, I went back, because I mentioned I went back and watched a bunch of recent episodes. I did rewatch the episode where Kiria and Emu talk on the beach, and then Cronus pauses and takes Kiria away. Emu was standing on the beach before the pause, and after the pause, he was standing at the edge of the stairs.
Yeah,
so Cronus actually did move Emu in order to prank him and try to trip him.
No.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's Dio does that in part 3 as well.
Again, remember who his
it's
son
perfect.
Is.
Just Cronus carrying Emu and just going, he's gonna fall.
Scratch shot. Just,
he's
don't worry,
fall.
You'll feel that when you wake up.
just unpause. Ah, my balls!
Well,
anyways.
Did I just eat shit?
Sure.
Yeah, that's another thing. Why didn't he spawn Emu halfway flying down the stairs?
The kick in the balls is, yeah.
Anyways, my point back to Cronus pausing during this episode. So he uses critical judgment. They all explode, and then he pauses and takes all their drivers and gadgets and fucks off, and the explosion is still there. So, I guess it's because time has stopped, but their suits should have, like, unhenched them? Otherwise, but if they had unhenched in the middle of an explosion, they probably would have all died. Yeah.
And then we get a,
And then Cronus promptly tells them, oh, if you want to keep fighting, just buy Comrade Chronicle and challenge me as a ride player. LOL.
LOL.
Fuck you.
Peace out, scrubs.
He's telling them to restart.
Get good.
Restart.
Also, we get pinpoints about, like, this is where the summer movie True Ending would have went in a completely different direction.
Actually, I would argue that's at the end of the episode, because I believe the movie picks up right as Gemdius appears. So I think that the true ending movie picks up right at the end as of episode 41 as Gemdius.
Or it's a timeline
up.
Where the reset didn't happen.
That's exactly what I was gonna say for reasons that I'll get into.
So because
before the reset happens. He takes their gamer drivers
and he's going
to
sell them.
He's going to give one
to
Johnny Maxima. So, yeah. It's
yeah, who ended up with one anyway.
Somehow.
How the fuck he sounds like a fucking like Superman villain.
Yeah.
On Johnny Maxima.
But,
Johnny!
But for that exact reason, I'm pretty sure the True Ending movie is the alternate timeline where reset never happened, because that way Fuma does get one of the gamer drivers stolen from CR.
Yeah. I can see that.
So this episode actually kind of rekindled my love for Pilat again as a character, just because, like, oh, just the interaction with him and Emu was just, like, so good. And, like, I like that, like, Emu goes on the rooftop and he puts on his Gamer Driver and Poppy's just like, oh, what are you doing? You can't transform. Puts in Mighty Brothers, they transforms into Mighty Brothers, and then just Pilat is in the orange form. So I like that.
I thought that was interesting, because I'm just thinking, like, if he's absorbed Pilat, how else would he be able to, like, extract him?
Which is why
although technically he should have been able to do it by just jamming the bug visor into himself.
And that's why I liked in episode 41, he, like, when they go fight his Mighty Brothers, he goes into Emu and then comes out as Mighty Brother Orange.
Which is completely unnecessary, but I'll talk about that when we get to episode 41.
But yeah, so, like, Emu literally was just like, yeah, I kicked your ass and did all that shit so you could fear, like, know what it's like to fear death. Like, be, you know, what it's like to die. Like, be dying. And he's like,
now you no longer have that fear.
And just like,
yeah, the thing is, like, it was all about teaching him the fear of death and what it's like to live a life without continues. But technically, he still really doesn't, because he is still alive. He did continue. So it's kind of a half-learned lesson.
No, but Emu was trying to also say to him, I could kill you if I wanted to. Like, I could kill you
with a thought!
No, and then Pilat's, like, on the ground, and he's, like, apologizing. He's like, I'm so sorry, like, I've been such a fool, blah, 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 blah. And then, like,
Pilat wants to be a real boy!
But, like, before that, he does, like, he fucks off back to where Graphite is, and then, like, Poppy comes to him and just is like, and, you know, he's like, she's like, oh, like, you know, I was trying to help you and stuff like that, and then, like, Graphite's like, oh, get the hell out of here, like, you know, you're just causing more trouble, and Pilat's just like, shut up, both of you.
I love how Graphite turns to Pilat and is like, yeah, get out of here, right? And then, like, Pilat basically just says, God, Graphite, just shut the fuck up, I'm gonna be in my room.
Yeah, and
that's not helping! You're not my
that
real
when
dad.
Graphite slapped the fuck out of Poppy.
Yeah. And I love that.
Like, damn.
The argument is, Bugsters can't live with humans. I mean, I don't know. Poppy seems to be doing a damn fucking good job.
No.
Yeah,
and
so was Bergermon.
Yeah.
No, like, quickly going to episode 41 again, just like, that's what I love about Graphite, because he's just fulfilling his purpose, his programming.
Oh, yeah,
and
he's
just
phenomenal.
It's so fucking good.
But
Graphite number one.
Yes. Well, like, I thought we were just talking about both episodes as a whole. So, like,
when they find out that Eggs-8 can henshin again because Pilat survived, there's just one shot of Dan sitting in front of Kyria and Hiro, just in the Seiza position for some fucking reason.
He's about to have his meeting with Metron.
And I'm just like, are you doing that just because you're grateful? I guess, even though it's not thanks to them that Pilat survived. That was weird.
Well, but Dan was...
I think he was more just thankful that it's, like, thankful in the idea of, yay, we're not all fucked over now. We actually have a chance.
Hooray!
I don't
have
to create a random Bugster to infect... Yes, yes, I don't have to... I don't have to make another random Bugster to infect Emu with.
And then, yeah, like, Pilat was just like, oh, I was just playing a game, and Emu just, you know, he's like, you didn't have to kill people to, like, to have fun or whatever like that, and Pilat, yeah, he, like, breaks down, cries, apologizes for everything he's done.
That whole speech, you know, makes sense, because we did hear him saying that he thought he could only get Eggs-8 serious by threatening humans.
And then we just get this amazing shot of just, like, Emu, like, putting his hand out towards Pilat, and he just says, like, from now on, you fight not to take lives, but to save them, and then just... like, we get this sweet shot of, like, Emu, like, swimming in the water to go save Pilat, and then, like, reaches out to him, and
yeah,
we just see them,
really,
like, grab hands, and I'm just like, this is great! And now, like, now we officially have Pilat and Emu working together, like, the true Mighty Brothers, and it's just, it's fucking awesome!
What I like to call this is the Mighty Long Lost Brothers.
Aww.
Emu and Dan are the Mighty Step Brothers. Emu and Pilat are the Mighty Long Lost Brothers.
Yep.
And now...
There's one scene with them that I really like. I think
Just before we move on, it's no longer versus, it's bro-up.
Go on, Noble.
There's one of the scenes, I think it's in episode 42, where they're going to work together, and Emu fist bumps Pilat, and he turns to dust and goes into Emu.
Yeah,
you mean in
41?
That was amazing.
You mean in 41?
Or... Was that in 41?
Yeah. 42 is the one airing this weekend.
Yeah.
And that was cool. You know what? We'll talk about
that,
it. Yeah,
that was amazing. I loved that shot.
But yeah, so Emma and Pallad henching together for the first time, and I just love how Pallad is just standing there with his arm out, just standing there while Exade is finishing his giant cutscene.
The 8-hour henching transformation.
No, and what's cool is we get a quick shot of like seeing like Muteki's head like in the Mighty Maximum suit, and it's fucking super cool.
I didn't even notice that.
I loved that. It was such a cool shot.
You can do it with the figure.
And then even though they're standing at a random building, which, by the way, has some sort of giant holographic globe that they walk through for some reason.
Yeah, I remember I was watching with Ichi, because like, I watched the Raw previously, and he's just like, walk through the globe, yeah!
But yeah, even though they're at a random building, they, for some reason, stage select to a different random building. I have no idea why that was, but okay.
Because that random building had people in it. That's where there was a holographic globe.
Okay, sure. And then Paradox does the coolest fucking shit ever. He splits into his two level 50 forms.
How did he never do that before?
Maybe it's because he's accessed through the powers of Mighty Brothers.
Well, remember,
Perfect Knockout is literally two level 50 games combined into one. I feel like that's something he could do, but he just didn't do it.
I think it's for both reasons.
I think it's because he's officially teamed up with Emu. So now, when he splits into the two forms, it's Pallad and Genius Gamer M.
Oh, that could be it. Well, they both have access to M now.
That's cool.
I would love... 50 equals 99. Because 99 is typically the max level in RPGs.
Yeah.
Even though Hero has a level 100.
Shut up!
And I loved
because
it too.
I know, it doesn't make sense. My theory is that's why Tata Legacy's Gashit is damaged, because it's over limit.
And then, like, so it's cool, like, Perfect Puzzle, like, uses a Confused Metal on Cronus, and then, like, uses, like, a bunch of other metals. And,
yeah,
like...
so Cronus tries to use metals against them, but then Puzzle Gamer's like, lol, nope.
And then, like, we get this awesome shot of just, like, Muteki just fucking, X8 just... fucking whipping him down with his hair, and I thought that was super cool.
And right before that, Fighter Gamer punches him so hard, Cronus goes spinning, and then Muteki whips his hair back and forth. I hate myself.
I didn't want to say it, so I'm glad you did.
And then, for some reason, when they do their critical finishers, like, the text is flipped upside down, and I have no fucking clue why!
Yeah, just to be different.
It bugged me!
And then, yeah, they do, like, this awesome fucking Hisots, and it was, like, super cool.
Fist bumps.
And they fist bump as Kamen Rider Chronicles Master Gadget is shattered.
And fucking, Dan's upset, and then, like,
this is the thing.
Oh, yeah, there was a...
You know how they stage select?
Yeah.
Somehow Dan and Poppy were in the stage select.
Yeah, they just ran into
them. They're bugsters.
How is that even... possible.
They're bugsters. I'm willing to overlook it at this point.
No, I want actual...
This is what you want to harp on?
Remember, Dan... I said before, like, Dan put, like, tracking devices in all their gamer drivers so that he knows where they are at all times, and that's how he always...
I'm willing to believe
show.
That at this point.
Yeah. Created the fucking things.
During the Cronus fight, there was this my favorite part. Pallad just shoots his gun all over the fucking place, and then Cronus pauses time, and Muteki's beating the shit out of him and throws him in front of one of Pallad's blasts, so he gets hit with the bullets.
Yeah, that
was cool.
Amazing.
So Masamune's not happy with what just fucking happened, and he awakens like the Bugster antibody in him, and then just goes, "Fuck it! Muteki's do not exist anymore!" Presses the reset button on the
Zwei. His eyes go orange and green.
And then just...
His molecules got all rearranged.
So that Muteki never happened.
And Chronicle gets repaired.
Yeah. And you just see Dan just like... No! Oh!
What just happened?
No, my baby.
The Muteki's his crowning achievement, so...
And now we've come to the end of episode 40, which means it's time to go through what I have dubbed the reset list.
The reset, reset list.
So, I spent yesterday watching episodes 34 to 41 to figure out what was changed when reset happened.
Oh, it's in colored tags.
What didn't change, what should have changed, what should not have changed.
What's the, like, how are we supposed to, like, pinpoint this out here? Like,
okay, so I'm going to run through a bullet point list of game and bugster and infection-related things that happened that may have, that should have been affected by
reset. No, I mean, like, why is it all color-coded?
Because I have it, the way I have it organized here, and this will be on the Patreon for anyone who wants to look it over. The green stuff is stuff that was, that makes sense. The blue stuff is unrelated, but I noted because it was worth mentioning. I already mentioned Masamune pranking Emu. The yellow stuff is stuff that is unsure of. The red stuff is stuff that doesn't make sense.
Well, with the copper thing.
That's right. Just,
okay, let's see how
this
much
is the reset point. This is where everything afterwards should change.
How much checks out?
Here. Okay, so, episode 35. Masamune takes Tattle Fantasy away from Hiro. We don't know if he's got it or if Masamune still has it. As of episode 35, Dan is down to 94 lives, which checks out because that's what he was at after the reset. Gemdia starts multiplying within Graphite. Masamune gives Kiria the Proto Sports and Combat Gashets, which he still has after the reset, so this checks out. Masamune gives Tattle Legacy to Hiro, so he still has that after the reset, so that makes sense, because a lot of people were saying, oh, if he reset, why does Hiro still have Tattle Legacy? It's because he gave it to him before Dan created Hyper Muteki. And it's at that point that Dan actually creates Hyper Muteki, so everything that happens after this is subject to reset. So, since the Proto Gashets went back to Masamune after the reset, Kiria had to have swiped the Proto Gashets from Masamune some point after Hyper Muteki was created, but we never see when that happens. Mm. Episode 36 starts with a bunch of people buying Kamen Rider Chronicle. After the reset happens, do they still have them? That's never really addressed. Hiro has Tattle Fantasy again because he transforms into it because he can't do Legacy, which means at some point he would have received it back from Masamune, but we don't know if that was before or after the reset point last episode. Masamune gives Kiri a proto Girigiri Chambara, which checks out because when the reset happened, Girigiri Chambara was back with Masamune. So that is confirmed. Muteki Gamer is a thing because Emu injected Pallad during this episode, which means after the reset, Emu shouldn't have Tensai Gamer M because he injected Pallad into himself after the reset. And then something unrelated but worth noticing is that the Proto Boxo Bike Gashet is still in the case and still gray, which means we still have no explanation for Kiria's version of the Boxo Bike Gashet.
Ooh, actually, to your point about like Emu injecting Pallad,
mm-hmm.
Pallad did go at inside him at one point so they could transform into Mighty Brothers, so maybe the M persona manifested again in him when they transformed into Mighty Brothers.
You know what? I'm willing to give you that.
Okay, there
that
you go.
That might be it.
Yes! I got one.
Not much to mention during episode 37, aside from Masamune putting Saki back in her Pokeball. But something I did notice rewatching the episode is the shot when Poppy and Laser are fighting Cronus. There was a confused metal inside of Cronus's limo.
Oh?
I kind of wanted him to just like open the door and pull that and throw it on them.
Oh, oh my god.
Here, have a treat.
Well, we know that he's not beyond pranking people.
Yeah,
so.
He did a demo, so why not?
Oh, little shit.
So, episode 38, Graphite uses the Gemdias virus to stop Paws, which means that he's gotten used to Gemdias, which checks out because after the reset, Graphite is like, oh, what's going on? I thought I was used to Gemdias by now.
Oh, yeah, he was. Huh.
Cronus doesn't have laser level 0 to suppress the Gemdias virus, so at this point, Paws should be disabled. There's no reason he should be able to use Paws anymore, but he does use it later, before the reset, so that doesn't make sense. During episode 38, Dan goes down to 93 and then 70 lives, which checks out because after the reset, he was back up to 94. And finally, during episode 38, Masamune deletes Saki, which brings the question of, after the reset, has Saki undeleted?
I think so.
I feel like that's something that could come up.
No, definitely.
Honestly, I don't think she was even deleted from the start. I think that was a
I was saying earlier that it could have been a fake out.
Yeah.
But he did put the Proto Dragonite Hunter Zed in the Zwei to spawn her, so it is entirely possible that was really Saki. But we don't know yet. Episode 39, Cronus uses paws, despite the fact that the Gemdias virus should have stopped that.
Yep.
Nico gets infected by Gemdias, which is checks out because it confirmed after the reset that that was reversed. Cronus gives Eggzay the Tokimeki Crisis Gasha Trophy, which they shouldn't still have after the reset. That didn't make sense. Cronus says that he has the puzzle and fighter trophies, but for some reason, Pallad joining CR instantly gives them access to it. So now I have no fucking clue how the trophies for puzzle and fighter work and who was supposed to have them.
Well, I mean, think about it like this. When Poppy became good, they randomly just got the...
Got the Doremifa Beat one because they solved the objective of Doremifa Beat, which is just making Poppy smile, not defeating her.
Mm-hmm.
That was never in question. The one thing about the Gasha Trophy is that
I'm fairly certain Eggzay beat up Pallad.
But the thing that really bugged me about the Gasha Trophies is we saw how they got all of the other ones except for Girigiri Chambra. It's assumed at some point that Nico went and beat up Kaiden, but they never showed it.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I wish they showed.
So that's pretty much the list, so I'm just going to run through my consolidation here. So here's what was reversed and confirmed and makes sense. Kyria stealing the proto-gashes, except for sports and combat, which he kept. That was undid. Nico getting infected by Gemdias. Graphite getting used to Gemdias' power, and Dan going from 94 to 70 lives. The stuff that was not undone, which makes perfect sense, is Hiro getting and keeping Tata Legacy, and Kyria keeping proto-sports and combat. Something that should have been undone, but we don't know yet, is Saki's deletion, and more civilians buying and using Kamurata Chronicle. Something that may or may not have been reset, but we don't know yet, is whether or not Hiro still has the Gashic Gear Dual Beta, depending on when Masamune gave it back to him. Two things that should have been undone, but were not, which I mentioned, was Eggzay getting the Crisis Gasha Trophy, and Emu having Tensai Gamer M, but again, as Lane said, I'm willing to give it to the fact that he reabsorbed him in episode 41. And yeah, as I mentioned, what the hell is the deal with the puzzle and fighter trophies? I have no idea anymore.
Oh, whatever.
So that is my presentation on Reset and why it is bullshit.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, that was really good.
At least there is some stuff that, like, they still kept, you know, faithful to, so
yeah,
that's good.
It's funny to think, if it wasn't for Masamune giving them the Tokimeki Crisis Trophy, they would have never been able to win.
Exactly, because... because
Lovrica was permadead, so there'd be no way to get it.
Yeah.
So the episode 41 starts with Masamune actually meeting with Maxima, and Maxima just goes up to him, and he's just like, "So, you say you gave me a gamer driver," and Masamune was like,
Yeah, Fate got reset.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the drivers anymore.
He flops a fan at him.
So, like, the question is, how does Kamurata Fuma become a thing then? Maybe he steals one.
That's why our theory that Fuma, the true ending movie, happens in the timeline that got reset upon.
Because think about it. The reset happened by accident.
Well, I wouldn't call it an accident, but...
like, in Masamune's rage, he accidentally hit reset.
Oh, well, it's not an accident. He just didn't know it was a thing. He was just like, "I'm angrily pressing this button while wishing Hyper Muteki didn't exist."
That's a little bit, contrived, actually.
Yeah, plus his molecules got all fucked up.
Are you saying that Tokusatsu stories are contrived?
No, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
But I'm wondering, Dan made the Buggle Drivers, why? Did he know that it had a reset function?
I'm sure he knew, but he never told anyone.
What an asshole.
Because
God, I love him.
he figured if nobody knew about it, nobody could use it.
That's true.
He probably figured that if he told the other CR writers about it, then they would be, like, trying to stop him from using it, which would, like, alert him to it.
Oh, true. Fair. Okay, there you go. So then, like, Dan, throughout this entire episode, was just fucking amazing. So, like, he's working super hard to try to make the Hyper Muteki Gacha, which... Gar actually made a very interesting point where he's like, why is he having such a tough time remaking it again when he was able to make it the first time? Doesn't he just remember how to make it, like, easily the first time?
I think it's because they were rushing to make it in half the time.
Yeah, okay.
No, there's an answer for this.
Hmm.
It wasn't that they were having a hard time making Hyper Muteki. It was that they were having a hard time thinking of some way to
top the reset.
They were coming up with the save medals.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But yeah, so apparently, like, during all of this, just, like, Dan literally, like, stresses himself to that. Like, at first we thought, like, oh, you know, he's just, like, sleep-deprived or something, so he just, like, he dies. Which he was, but no, it was because he was stressing himself to death.
And like, no matter how fatigued a human is, you don't die 12 times in one night.
Yeah, so then just, we see him, like, his come back and his life count goes to 80, and I'm just like, you died 12 times trying to fucking make this shit up. And, like, it's super funny where he's just trying to rush it, and then Emu just, like, wakes up and he's like, shut the fuck up! Just
and then
start
just flops back
concentrating.
Down.
I just absolutely love how, like, you can see it in Dan's face that he's completely sleep-deprived and stressed out, and he's just, like, angrily pressing keyboards with one finger. And then just ding! And he just, like, fades away. And then he, like, pops out of the continue tube,
like the
falls back
pose.
In the chair.
Yeah. Mm.
His face is completely refreshed, and he's just, like crossing his legs. Yep, back to work, everyone. Chop, chop.
It's great.
Yeah, and then the favorite scene, the best scene in the episode happens.
Tyria's got a new hat.
Yeah.
I wanted.
Salutes, and then slowly lowers the computer.
Lowers his chair. That was so great.
Oh, man.
It's so subtle and barely noticeable, but it's hilarious. Yeah. Just like, I'm gonna sit back down now.
I just want someone to dub it just down Periscope.
So in the end, like, they pretty much figure out, they make a save function for Muteki so they can prevent reset from happening again. And honestly, like, people are raging about, like, oh, why didn't Dan play these games before? And it's like,
because Genmu Corporation is Nintendo. They make many games that are short, very hard, and do not require saving.
Yeah.
Mighty Action X is a game that we played. It was only 5 levels. Why would you need save features in that?
5 levels took 5 years to make.
Yeah.
But no, like, honestly, well
still
done.
Still a better game than Mighty No. 9.
Fair.
Bravo, Dan. Just, like, great job for, like, thinking up of a save feature. That's fucking genius. So, like, this is why I love him. And, like, he's become so comedic, but, like, which some people probably think, like, oh, that ruins his character. No, it just adds to him, because, like, he's remember, the man's fucking insane. So, like, he's gonna act all, like, fucking crazy and loopy like this. So, like, it's totally within his character, and I love it.
So, when Emu, Pilat, and Poppy try to talk to Graphite, I'm pretty sure that the location he's hanging out in is the lab from the Duke Gaiden.
I don't know, I've never seen it.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh yeah, you're still fucking
out. Watch it, they're good.
God damn it, Gar!
So, it's at that point that Emu, like, tags Pilat into himself, and they choose to go Mighty Brothers against Cronus for some fucking reason.
Because they just...
Yeah, let's fight a man who successfully surpassed the concept of levels with a level 24.
Well, it's because it's the only thing that they could do, like, sort of together.
Here's the thing. You know what? I'm willing... Because you brought up that theory earlier, how he needed to reabsorb him in order to have access to Tensei Gamer M, I'm willing to accept that's the reason they started with Mighty Brothers. What that doesn't excuse, however, is why Pilat was able to use the virtual copy of Emu's driver to upgrade from Mighty Brothers XXR into Perfect Knockout Gamer.
Eh.
That doesn't make sense.
Maybe he just manifested, maybe because Pilat was in Emu's body, he just,
you know why?
But his own driver is a separate existence.
Yeah, that's
you know why it works? Weird. Because of the virtual Gashats.
But the thing is, when Emu was defeated and unhinged, Paradox was still there. With the virtual belt for some reason.
Yes, and when one of the riders with...
That's like some Baron switching belts without switching suits level bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
This franchise just constantly gives me aneurysms.
Why do you think I want to go from beginning to end before the show's over?
The biggest important thing of this episode was the battle between... Snipe and Brave versus Graphite.
You mean the fight that literally went all night?
Yeah.
That's awesome, though. But no, like, it was just great, like, seeing them, like, you know, go down, and he, like, looks at them, and he looks at both of them, and he's just like, oh, of course it's you two who are coming to fight me, like, haha.
I'm sorry, but you don't start with your master shot of them charging at each other and then cut to the other shot where you've, like, zoomed in on them fighting. You either start with zoom or do the master shot. You don't do both.
You know what really bugged me? In this episode, Cronus waves off Paradox's, like, Parablagon fire blasts like they're fucking nothing. But for some reason, in the earlier episode, he paused to stop them as if they were a threat. So I don't understand this man's
and
tactics.
Then he got fucking wrecked by three of them.
Yeah.
But I do like how, I like how Hiro and Hiro Taiga and Graphite actually chit-chat before their final battle.
Oh my god, that speech about Taiga of the past, Hiro of the future, and Graphite of the present.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not only was that beautiful, but the minute Graphite was about to call himself the Warrior of the Present, I predicted that shit. It was so beautiful.
And I also like that, like, Pilat and Poppy, like, try to go to convince Graphite to, like, join their cause or whatever like that. And, like, because Pilat's just like, he's like, we're friends and stuff like that. Like, come on, like, join me. And Graphite's like,
I'm on another path.
He's like, I'm on my own path. I'm doing what I was destined to do. Like, I'll still be your friend, Pilat, like, always. And then, like, then he calls Poppy by her full name, and like, yeah. I hate when, like, the serious characters just fully Poppy say Poppy Peepa Papo, and I'm like, stop! Say Poppy!
No, by her full name.
I really like the juxtaposition that we get here between Pilat and Graphite. These two have been basically brothers the entire show.
Yeah.
Pilat has done nothing but fight against the nature of his own existence, while Graphite has just, like, completely embraced it. I am a warrior. Oh. I am the enemy. I am Dragonite Hunter Zed's Graphite. I will live, fight, and die as who I am.
Here's another thing that happened because of the reset. Because before the reset, Emu defeated Pilat, who had the bug visor with him.
No, actually, no.
After the reset, Graphite has it back again.
No, you know what? No.
That is one thing that I didn't mention. There was still, throughout these last three episodes, zero payoff on whatever the fuck reason Pilat took Graphite's bug visor for. But I think I figured it out. You know what it might be? Because he needs the bug visor to transform, I think Pilat took it just to stop Graphite from fighting.
Maybe.
Because it's like, this is my fight, I have to do it.
Also, I love that they gave Graphite, like, his, like, a proper full
his own
henching.
Critical screen?
No, but, like, a full henching.
Oh, that
like
too.
For his final henching, like, he did the full sequence with the whole chime.
I wish it was, like, a full body shot instead of just the top torso, but
that's
yeah.
Fine.
I just like his fucking, like, Tyrannosaurus skull shoulder pad.
Yeah, that's always been cool.
Oh no, Graphite's design's always been fucking amazing. But I like
that's
his,
what I want a figure art of.
I like his black and gold form the most, personally.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I like all of his forms.
Yeah, but it was really cool that he got like his own like critical Kimiwaza like screen thing, and like even showed like the name of his attack like in kanji, so that was fucking cool.
The best thing ever is that you may not have heard it between the sound effects, but it was actually, like, you know how his ultimate attacks have, like, do-do-do at the start of it? This one had 11 times, so it was do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, Guren Bakuryuken!
That's cool.
Yeah, it was sort of weird that, yeah, and it even had the Japanese text instead of English text.
Oh, yeah, then Cronus shows up after a whole entire night of fighting, in which I kind of like, I like how it's like, they should have started a fight. It's like a evening, the sun's about to set. Then they cut to like halfway throughout the night, where they're still fighting, and then they end off with like probably like morning.
Yep.
Budget cuts.
Yeah.
No, that's it's perfect. It just shows us how long they've been fighting.
They fight all night.
Probably taking 5-minute breaks. So.
Yeah, you just see them, like, sitting down, like, drinking tea. So, Graphite, how are you
fucking
doing? Fucking pretty good.
A fucking food truck walks in with Salty behind the wheel. You guys want some snacks?
We got Salty snacks.
Pretzels!
That's a 5-minute break. You see Graphite pacing back and forth while Hiro and Snipe just draw out a plan on their on the ground with their fingers. It's like, alright, you go Hiro.
Just brave, just, like, Hiro looks over at Taiga. Taiga, double whammy, you're on.
I'll get up close and punch him, but don't you have guns? Yeah, don't worry, though. It'll be really cool.
Wait, why are you going up there? No, it's like, why are you taking high ground? Hey, it's called being a badass.
Also, I have wings on my armor.
Yeah, that's a thing. Why the fuck does the close quarters guy fight far away and the range guy fights close up?
Because none of them are actually competent fighters.
I mean, it's cool with the fucking doctors, like, not fighters. Every punch would be a shoot thing. That would be cool. Like, what's his name from My Hero Academia?
I don't know.
Which one?
The guy with the grenade knuckles.
Oh, Bakugo. I love him.
Yeah, that guy.
Wait, you watched My Hero Academia?
Yeah, I've watched the first season. Yeah.
Oh.
If Snipe did that, like, every time he was punching with a shooting, that would have been awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Blaze in our Discord is like, when no one was looking, Hiro Kagami ate 40 cakes.
Yeah.
just that's already has a pack of cakes.
And that's terrible.
Yeah.
Yep.
But had a legacy secretly Skyrim gamer.
So
I ate 50 cakes and 20 cheese wheels in the stop time.
Kamen Rider Dovahkiin.
So Brave and Snipe down Graphite and Nico steps in to finish him off using the Gashikon Magnum. So they actually did something that I've asked them to do from earlier episodes.
No, and then Cronus tries to interrupt, but then like Graphite gets actually really pissed off, just going like, "No, they need to finish me!" And like, you actually see like Poppy and Graphite.
It's not that they need to finish him. He was like, "Nope, no. They fought me fair and square. They deserve to finish me off."
We literally fought all night. They deserve it.
And like during pause, you see like Poppy and Pallad. You see Poppy and Pallad in pause, and they're like look super concerned. And like Pallad was trying to like run towards Graphite to like kind of stop the blow.
And I understand the from the writing side why it was like poetic for him to do it. But while Graphite was immune to the pause and he's about to fight Cronus, he starts giving goodbye speeches to everyone while pause is happening.
But they can't hear it.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
But no, it's like...
I mean, a lot of people do that in things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but they did the one thing that...
You know, he didn't... He wanted to... Sorry, Gar. Go ahead.
Yeah. They did the one thing that I always have, that I always love in Toku. Just the mute explosion.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Like, when Graphite died and, like, the explosion went off. No, like, heavy, big explosion sound effect. You just see it.
Yeah,
it wasn't like it wasn't super depressing, sad thing.
No, Graphite, he didn't want them to hear him because, like, you know, he's not the type to express himself. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, so
Graphite died. His bug visor survived somehow. I don't know what purpose it serves.
And now I definitely need to get my Dragonite Hunter's Egg Gashant.
And here's the question: Graphite was a complete bugster. Can he come back?
He died during he died during pause.
Oh
no, he didn't.
No. The game Nico finished him off with Rider Critical Finish in the Magnum. That was not during pause.
That is true. So is
I think what's gonna happen is after they defeat Gemdius, all the bugsters that were defeated are gonna respawn.
Maybe.
Like Bergamot's like how you reappear.
Like how you restart a video game.
Yeah. He's gone now because he was a boss in the game. So, boss defeated, he's not showing up for the rest of the game.
I'd like to point out that many of the low-level bugsters appeared several times during the course of Kamen Rider
Chronicles. Because they're low levels.
They were low-level random option bosses. He was an actual boss of the game. He was one of the top tiers.
So Graphite is dead, and his actor went on to fuck Wakana from Kamen Rider Double in front of the mom of Amanai from Blade.
Whoa, what the fuck?
I'm not kidding.
That's a thing.
That's a movie called White Lily.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Graphite fucks Wakana.
Whoa, I gotta watch that. Wait,
I bet a lot of
Double.
The
I bet a
dummy,
lot of people were walking out when they were watching.
Oh, she wasn't the dummy.
Play doll.
Yeah, first.
I'm tired.
Like the Pokemon?
They put the all the Gastrovies together in a circle. They summon it up towards the Chronicle title.
Why did they do that until they knew for sure that Muteki was back and had a countermeasure?
Because fuck it. They had faith in
Cause
him.
They're
what
idiots.
The fuck was the plan here? Were they gonna sick Gemnius on Cronus? You know, the guy with the power specifically designed to beat Gemnius? You fucking yes. morons!
Yes, but think about it this way. Cronus doesn't want to defeat Gemnius, because that would mean Kamen Rider Chronicle would have been won.
Well, it comes down to what does he want more? Kamen Rider Chronicle to continue, or for him to die?
He just has to stop playing.
Yeah. So they summon Gemnius, and he like comes out with like a bunch of laughter, and it's really awesome.
In which they did the same thing that Ghost did. I don't know why, but they did. In the Ghost Summer movie, we have the Great Eye. This movie, or like, and then at the end of the show, Great Eye shows up again, but in gold, like black and gold. Gemnius in the Summer movie, all red. In the show, black and gold.
Oh, so you're saying there were two Gemnius skins?
Yeah.
Just like the Izer and the fucking whoever. Ooh,
yeah.
And that's like Kamen Rider, whatever.
Eternal, or Turner? Turner?
I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm gonna look it up quickly.
So Muteki Gamer shows up in time to apply save medals to everyone, which saves them from Masamune trying to reset them again.
Which he was going to reset the medals.
And here's the thing.
Not the medals, the trophies.
Here's the thing that bugs me, though. The save medals applied themselves to each of the people, but no, there was no save medal applied to the Gasha trophies, which were still somehow not affected by reset.
Because the Gasha trophies, the Gasha trophies, there's technically
their
inventory.
Yeah, it's all part of their save progress.
Yeah.
You fell asleep?
Yeah, I kind of did.
Kamen Rider Extremer, that's it.
Yeah.
That would be like having a save state in like a Mega Man game, and then next time you go to play it, you have to beat all the levels again.
I just love how Muteki Gamer shows up after like the medals go on to everyone, and he just shows up with like a tiny one, just like, look, it's a tiny save medal, which you can get if you go see my movie.
Go see the movie.
But yeah, so next week's episode, Kiria attacks Dan for some reason. I hope that's really well explained, because I think that's kind of out of nowhere.
Oh, we forgot about something else that happened this week, I think. I think it was this week. We got to see another Gashat.
Oh yes, the Mighty Doctor Double X Gashat, which I am so, so curious of what that's gonna fucking be.
I am super looking forward
to it.
It's
the true reset button.
The
it's
one
gonna
thing
bring
I didn't
everyone
like
everyone back.
Yeah, it's gonna fucking
it's
gonna pull a Ryuki.
Everybody comes back. Click.
Gem Deus Ex Machina.
Garnet pill. Go.
Let's go to Q Ranger.
One other thing that was worth mentioning is at the end of the episode, Johnny Maxima picked up Graphite's bug visor. I'm looking forward to seeing what that does.
Well, yeah. Do you think that he'll use
absolutely that? Nothing? Because that's just going to be a ploy for the movie,
probably,
or V Cinema.
Also, next episode, Laser on Laser.
Yeah,
Laser rides Bike Gamer while also
bug
having
facts.
Proto Shock Ricky Sports on. So it's bike on bike on bike.
Cool.
I think that picture's in spoiler chat.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, okay. If you scroll up in there, if you actually look at it, he has the Mighty Doctor Gashat in his belt, and he's holding the proto bug visor.
Yeah.
And the bug visor is Y.
Yeah, I saw that.
All right. Anyways, Q-Ranger, Yoshilucky!
I just want to start this discussion by pointing out to everyone on the fucking internet that it's Ho-Oh, spelled H-O-U-O-U, not Ho-Oh, the fucking English Pokemon name. Get it right!
Also fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
I mean, he's a little bit of
he's
a
an
jerk,
asshole.
But he's also kind of amazing.
Okay,
he falls into the hilarious asshole category.
I'm gonna go with, like, I actually can't believe I'm playing, like, what Raven does with Sasori from Kabuto. I like Ho Soldier, the Q Ranger. I fucking hate the character, Tsurugi.
I don't like
that. Yeah,
I
know that.
Yep. The suit's cool. I like that it's actually like he has a fucking like space helmet visor over the front of his helmet.
He's fucking badass.
Character.
Also, I'm gonna say fuck all of you because the Argo is a spaceship! It was just disguised as a boat!
I cannot believe that I didn't predict that the Argo would transform into the fucking Ho-Oh Voyager.
Oh, I'm so happy that it's actually a spaceship.
That turned into a different type of ship that turned into a spaceship and a satellite.
Oh, no. It was non-cross-eyed.
Yeah. It was a boat that turned into a ship that turned into a spaceship.
Oh, my God. The funniest shit. I may not like Ohtori Tsurugi, but he does some funny shit. All right, we need to find Ohtori Tsurugi. Turns around, he's splattered on their windshield.
Now, guys, what about when he's asking the random people, don't you know me, Ohtori Tsurugi, the hero? And the mom is like taking your child away, like, no, listen to the crazy man.
Don't speak to the stranger. You know this.
And then they like one of them discovered that like there's like a school building or something named after her, and I'm like, what the fuck's that about?
Science lab.
And they never go into detail.
No, like
they'll address it.
His entire like origin and stuff really fucking confuses me. Like, okay, like I was having like a quick argument with Ichi about this because like he says like, oh, I was the first human to go in space, and then it's like, oh, how long were you frozen for? 300 years.
He was the first human to go past the moon, is what he said.
Yeah.
So, the subs I got was the first one to go into space.
Here's the thing.
Okay, first and foremost, Lane, you watched this week's episode, right?
Yes.
Because they actually went into a decent amount of detail about who he was and what his backstory was.
I'm just amazed that the shit he said turned out to be true.
No. But what he said, like, he's like, oh, I was first one to go in, Earthling to go into space. I was the first president of the Space Federation.
I'm going to point out something that explains this all perfectly. Alternate timeline, alternate reality. Jark matter has already conquered the place, which means the advancement of human technology and space exploration was at a greatly reduced pace.
I still feel as if, I thought the big twist was going to be he was making everything up.
That's what they wanted you to think, and then...
Because Tsurugi even mentioned that, like, oh, yeah, it's kind of fuzzy on who I am.
Because we find out that Dark Matter has actually been rewriting history.
Yep.
History is written by the victims.
You know, after sleeping for a good 300 years.
Okay, well, yes, that was explained that Jerkman was rewriting history, but it just, like, at first, I was just saying, it confused me about, like, just, like, what he was saying about himself.
Which is
exactly...
Because
I wasn't sure if it was real or not.
Which is exactly what the show wanted you to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait for the fucking time tokens to go fix this shit. Yeah.
And then Ronpo decides, oh, Raptor, Spada, go be with him.
Because he needed a chef and an assistant.
And... apparently he designed Raptor. It's like, oh yeah, no, you're based off an android I designed. You're not meant to fight.
By the way, you're actually faulty. Here, let me fix you. I actually found that insulting and a little upsetting.
Yeah, no, even Spada was pissed off about that. He was like, she's an independent person.
It looked like they were kissing.
Yeah, he commented on her.
Oh god, I loved him just like running over seeing her. Raptor!
Spada X Raptor confirmed! I am so happy.
I think he's just concerned for any female.
In the overtime subs, he's like, it was just because I was worried about her paternally.
Raptor, Spada,
I remember that, and his nose smashed.
Yeah. Oh my god, the funniest shit ever is like when Ohtori is explaining his story to everyone, and Naga's just like, I don't believe you!
I'm moaning.
It would have been great if he was just like if Tsurugi just like quickly turned around and went, damn, they're on to me.
No, and I really don't like him, and I'm also glad Lucky doesn't like him either. And I just like, I'm hearing like what Lucky's saying about him and stuff. He's like, oh, I freaking don't like this guy. Like, you're telling me to be a shield. Like, fuck that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you're right, Lucky. Good for you. Good to stand up for your beliefs.
I thought it was
first time
hilarious.
I agree with the Red Ranger of this series.
These two episodes weren't that good.
They're okay.
They had funny bits, and there's
one thing that I liked. We got to see the Die Ranger location from the Gokaiger episode.
Yeah, we also got to see Penis Robotnik.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
man.
We see Don Homage talking to, like, the three of them, and, like, of course, I guess we're just getting, like, one at a time. So...
Of course.
Yeah. And we're probably gonna get Yellow Buster last, so...
I absolutely love that when Ohtori is like, yeah, I'm here so you guys can retire. Sho is just like, Yeah, okay, we're done.
God. No, he was joking.
I know, but it was funny.
He was messing with you. On the overtime subs, he's like, I could use a break. I've been through some shit. I could use a break.
It wasn't until this episode that it really started to hit home that Jark Matter has in fact conquered the planet. When you start seeing buildings like Jark Matter University and Jark Matter Broadcasting Station.
Shouldn't they all be
Jark Matter University?
And then if you look to the left, you'll see Rydertown Radio.
Jark Matter the Lunchbox.
Jark Matter the Grocery Store.
Jark Matter the Flamethrower.
Jark Matter Lunchbox with its own Jark Matter Thermos.
Oh my god.
Jark Matter the Pajamas.
Because
the greatest thing ever, Dark Matter General Happy Meal Toys.
There's a gimmick in every box.
I quickly want to get into the whole Voyager. So yeah, like you see it transform into like the Argo go from a sailboat to like actual like spaceship.
Each of the three Qtama that formed the Argo turned into a different piece of the whole.
Can I just say the Seiza Blaster voice or whatever, on his shit, fucking amazing. Like, I just like hearing, ho, bass, and, ho...
Well, yeah. It makes the perfect sense because it... Well, yeah, because it's pleased that you're GP bass guy.
And then when you see, the bass... Yep. When you see the bass, rolling out of the mountain or whatever with, the Voyager on, getting ready for launch, you see, the little runway lights or, little Qtamas, and they're fucking adorable. Like, I noticed that.
That was adorable.
I was like, aw.
It's hard to take that voice seriously when he's still saying things like, come on, the docking!
No.
Okay. It says, come on, the docking.
Come on, the go.
But according to the sub, it says, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, the change! Yeah. No one's using it.
We talked about that.
And then it's like, oh, commence. 3, 2, 1, go! And just launches up.
It launches up in order to form the Megazord and come immediately back down to Earth.
Because he had to go up to get the satellite to finish the combination.
Can I do the countdown?
But when they transformed from the Argo into the Voyagers, the three pieces were right there and could have just...
Tsurugi was just trying to be a show-off.
But we needed our stock footage.
We got to fill out the time.
Yeah. But honestly, his Megazord's cool. I don't like it in toy form, but I like it in the show. It's cool.
The Megazord is cool.
Hell, I love that effect in the second episode that we watched where, his swords actually were lit on fire.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
I'm sorry.
What I was saying earlier is, talking about the monster of the week from the first episode, Monoville, the one who's been rewriting history... Because it's a mixture of an English and Japanese language, I know the show would never have done it, but immediately when I saw Monoville teaching the room full of candidates to be daikon, my brain immediately went, they're daikandidates!
Oh.
You lost me.
Candidates,
daikon, daikandidates.
Is that going to be the episode title?
Could be.
No. You know what I want to see now? I want to see someone take the Ho-Oh Voyager launching the 3-2-1 go and dub that over a Build Fighters theme where they're getting ready to launch out the Gundams.
Or Power Rangers in space.
Or Futurama. Yeah. Can I do the countdown? Sure. 10, 9, okay, we're here. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, plus 1.
I rewatched it for Futurama episodes 1 and 2 recently.
Futurama.
Did anyone else find it hilarious and amazing that Otori somehow set up the projector in the classroom to project his emblem onto the fucking screen?
Probably carried.
How did you do that?
Floppy disk. It's just a piece of
a USB cable.
Like, how did you do that? By being a fucking badass.
Also, here's my catchphrase. Legendary.
I'd like to think that he just held up a slide up there above the over the projector screen.
Sorry, what were we saying, Emily?
How when they were all saying their catchphrase, and he tried to say his at the same time. He was like, "Stop going over, talking over me."
Yeah.
Oh no! No, it was when they defeated the mecha. Yeah. They all say something else.
Oh, yeah, they all say, we're going to take back the galaxy, and he's like, stop interrupting my catchphrase, and he pushes them out of the frame.
Jeez, Beepus so much.
But I just, I both love and am annoyed by the fact that the Ho-Oh shield and sword literally just fly in from nowhere every time he uses them.
No, but they fly in from the Phoenix.
No. Yeah, they don't just fly in from nowhere. They literally form into a King Phoenix made of fire that flies into his hand and turns into a shield. I know, but
where does it come from?
Wherever the fuck it comes
from, Jetman.
It rises from. It rises from the ashes of all of his fallen comrades. It rises from the ashes of his fallen comrades.
So, I love how they point out that the monster of the week looks very similar to an earlier one. Did they just point out that they kitbashed the monster of the week?
They might have.
Oh.
And then he pulls out, and then it turns out that he has the powers of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Trap card. I activate this, and then any attacks you hit me can't target me. They have to target the other character.
So much.
I activated reversal, whatever the fuck they were.
Spada and Tsurugi think of, like, the greatest thing. And where Tsurugi's gonna stand right in front of the monster while Spada tries to attack him.
And then somehow the attack will transfer from Soldier to the monster instead of Tsurugi.
Because
just
the intent was to hit
monster.
Tsurugi originally. That way, if it missed, it would have not reverted
it's
back
so
to him.
It's such a stupid and convoluted way to get around it.
Yes, it's convoluted as all hell.
Also, we learned from Tsurugi that I actually found a little interesting piece of information is that originally there were 88 warriors. With all 88 constellations, so like
means potentially 88 old Q Rangers.
Yeah, no. So that means there was like a Hercules one. There was one for that fucking fish. The one for the one that spawns a cup.
One for Virgo.
There was a man. There was one man wielding the cup of justice.
That means that Mr. Pega was actually a Q Ranger.
There was an entire kitchen.
A pigeon. There's a pigeon Q Ranger.
No, I have a fireplace.
Let's not forget Lady in the Cherokee Ranger.
Yep.
God damn it.
Great, now I'm just thinking about in Gurren Lagann how every episode started out. It's like, this is a tale about a boy that would change the future.
This is a story of a boy.
Oh, we also got that blonde-haired chick again. Like,
Eris.
She's okay.
And she slept.
Oh, her voice is annoying. She slept
balance. That was mean. And Champ's just like, she doesn't like you, dude.
I don't know why they let him go when they all knew.
No, he just kind of volunteers. So he's like, I'll go! She likes me!
No. Oh, they used
it. Oh, yeah. Okay, well then that just it happened.
You know, that thing that we have.
I know.
That no one uses.
Hey, I use it.
Since when?
I used it last week. You saw me.
Anyways, as of this episode, the ending sequence has changed to the new song, which is the Q Ranger Ondo.
It's sung by
Beatbuster. It's still the actual original lyrics, just with an Ondo beat.
I love it.
And it's sung by Beatbuster.
Awesome. I'd have to look that up to confirm, but it does look like he's the one singing in the video.
I think it is him.
No, it's him dancing, but the main singer.
He's making
the
mouth movements when he's singing.
Yeah,
so
but the main singer. Is in the crowd and he's actually singing.
Okay. I didn't think it was actually the guy singing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a fun ending though.
Hopes
like
and
it.
Dreams shattered.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Keruro ending where they're also doing that.
Alright, so episode 23 and Raptor and Spot are still following this walking dickbag for some reason.
Oh, it's because Rompo told them to.
I guess.
So is this going to be their like team up here? How like
most likely.
How Lucky teams up with Ryu Commander,
Champion,
Sky Blue, Stinger, Scorpion. And Champ team up together.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
Silver and Gold.
I saw in the preview for next week's episode, we actually see Lucky because like all the other Q Rangers are captured except for Rompo, Lucky, and Tsurugi, so they all team up together, and I'm like, that's awesome.
So. What really bugs me is we haven't even met all 12 of the Karo yet, and now they're fucking vice shoguns? This army is bullshit.
This show is going into Ninja territory with its villains. Ninja shit.
No, that's not what I said.
Shininger?
So I guess regular TV is still a thing in this conquered Earth because there's a broadcast network.
Regular TV exists. The channels just play the news.
Okay, why do I have a feeling...
The news is you're still conquered.
Why do I have a feeling now? Dark Matter's like Dr. Doom controlling over...
It's nothing but propaganda.
No, Latveria. It's just like he's actually not that bad of a ruler. It's just he does bad things.
Yeah, how he controls Latveria.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's like he's not that bad of a guy. I mean, look at all the people in the country.
I laugh how like the broadcast starts and Otori's like on it, and then for some reason Spot and Raptor are like, "We'll be live in 5 seconds." You're already live.
Yeah,
we're live.
We have these bootleg movies, you know, movies that aren't even out in theaters yet. Oh, that's illegal. Oh, don't worry, you can just cut that out. This is live television.
So Lanpo decides everyone go down. Fuck the Q-let. And we meet probably my favorite mook in the show to date, the Daikon Media Tsuyoi Endeavor.
Gets the camera rolling.
It's a Tsuyoi Endeavor with, like, film motifs, and...
If we succeed, we'll get sushi.
He has a camera crew. It's awesome.
First we get the sushi, then we get the women, then we get the power.
Yeah, he had one of the fucking mooks holding up a cute... During the Megazord fight, one of the mooks was holding up a fucking cue card.
Oh,
because he can totally read that from all the way up there.
So we see more evidence that history has actually been rewritten because Ho Soldier recognizes Tetsu, but Tetsu doesn't know him. So they bail from Tetsu because apparently Ho Soldier just has random galaxy-themed powers like that.
Magical bullshit.
It literally just says Hamanogawa as they poof away.
Yeah, it says Milky Way, and then they vanish.
Yeah.
It's like a little smoke screen thing.
Yep. Smoke bomb!
So I have a theory. This isn't Don Armage.
I think he's a zombie.
I think it's someone else using it as a guise, which is why we only see him as a CGI projection.
Okay, am I the only one that still remembers that we've seen Don Armage's face?
And it's a skull, right?
Yeah, it's a skull.
So I think he's, like, undead.
Maybe. Okay, then he's fucking Skeletor.
Why not?
Yeah. Either way, I think he wiped all the people of the group's memories except for a scholarship guy to rewrite history.
Entirely possible.
Magical bullshit.
Seeing as giant boss man McBig Dick over here for
Robot Dick.
What? You mean Tetsu?
Yes.
Did you just say Robot Dick?
Yes, I did say Robot Dick.
Oh no, yes.
Robot Dick.
I'm sorry, I ramble when I can't think of people's names.
Robot Dick. That's good.
That's
better than it has any right to be.
Alright.
Anyways.
Q-Ranger wasn't really that entertaining. Like, me and Lane...
Metal Deathworm debuts. Oh boy, it's literally a reskin. Yeah. They sprayed it in fucking paint and called it a new monster.
Literally yesterday, me and Lane were hanging out with Cell. And we were just talking to Cell about how, like, man, Q-Ranger isn't really that good.
Oh my god, they finally did what I was hoping they would do, and they put the washi wings on the back of Tureno.
I actually thought it could fly without them.
I love it!
Can it fly without them?
No.
Yes, it can.
Actually, no, yeah, because it flew up and flown up and down in space.
Yes, it can. So that was a completely useless attachment.
So it can fly faster because she's the speed star.
But yeah, these two episodes more or less cemented that I hate this guy. So
yeah, pretty much.
Like, what's the show?
I don't hate Ninja this bad.
Oh, I don't know. Let's not say things we can't take back.
I like this a bit more than Ninja.
No, like, this guy's just a complete douchebag.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get better. We know how these shows work.
He'll start off cocky, and then by the end of the show, he's like one of the guys. Or gals.
Spoiler,
Tsurugi is an android.
I love it that when Balance.
I'm glad you went that way, Gar. I'm glad you went that way.
Spoiler, Tsurugi is a woman.
Wow, okay.
That's what I was expecting.
A woman android.
A woman android, anyways. When Balance and Champ get back, I absolutely melted at Naga patting Balance's head.
Yeah, believe me, no, never mind.
I like
Don't say it.
Goodbye.
No, I want to pet Balance. I'm sorry.
No, that's cute.
You like balance. It's cute.
There's not much else to say.
Like,
although I should point out, there was only one Yosha Lucky during the first of the two episodes and zero in 23. So our Yosha Lucky count is at 216.
I swear he did one at 23.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he did one like during the Megazord battle afterwards, kind of. He was like, Yosha Lucky!
I'll have to rewatch it.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure he did another one.
I think he just didn't want to say it because he's like, God, this guy's a fucking asshole. Just go away.
No, like I said, Lucky doesn't say it when he's serious.
Yeah, just in the background of one of the scenes. No one likes you! Go away!
So next week is the most of the team gets eaten by a monster episode that every Sentai has. And the debut of Kutamajin.
The last one didn't have one.
Well,
most of them.
I don't know. I haven't seen one like that, but I'm kind of interested in seeing what happens.
I like
Terror Toad.
It reminds me of the episode of Kakuranger where there was the yokai that hopped into Ninja Yellow's stomach and he made him grow. But he couldn't really eat anything because the yokai was always eating the food in his stomach.
I love the episode with that type of monster from Mighty Morphin / Z-Ranger.
Yeah,
because
Pudgy
Pig?
Yeah, no, Pudgy, it was Terror Toad, because when he ate the Rangers, he put a sticker of their face on his belly.
Yeah.
These are the Rangers I've eaten!
Yeah, they have an Imaginext figure of that.
Like, look, a bowl of cereal.
Frosted Flakes cereal.
This is what I
look, a piece of candy.
The gift star. The episode ends with a clip of the movie featuring the Death Star, Herp!
God, that is the stupidest name.
I am actually excited to watch this movie, ironically.
I'll watch the movie, it's just a stupid name.
Oh, for sure, but that's why it's hilarious.
We won't get to see the movie till like, probably January.
Hey, just like when I saw Star Wars.
So now you can see new Star Wars.
Alright. Wrap this up.
So I can see knockoff Star Wars.
Alright.
Knocking things over.
So, everyone, thank you for joining us for this double episode special. As always, the hub site for our nonsense is castranger.podbean.com. Check us out on Facebook /rscastranger. Tweet at us at Ixie Studios. Check out our publicly available Discord. And as of the release of this episode, the second in our series of emblem t-shirts, our merchandise are out. And this week, it's me, Blue Caster Emblem! Buy shirts! I'm buying one!
Oh, I completely forgot.
What happened?
As of this recording, we've been on YouTube for 1 year.
Hooray!
Woo.
Also, I bought Redcaster the Redcaster Emblem t-shirt for his birthday, and that showed up today. You were supposed to be here to get it!
Graham's asleep.
He's asleep.
He's sleeping.
Oh, poor guy.
Alright, so, and make sure you check out our Patreon and consider pledging to us to help us make the show better for you and get the game done faster.
Also, Goldcaster says hi.
Yay!
Good night, everybody! This is Pinkcaster Lane signing out.
Why are you saying good night?
Well,
they're watching this at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Goodbye, good night, good morning, good afternoon.
Good day and or night.
You know why, Gar? Because it's night somewhere.
Thanks for listening.
It's
and
always
night
somewhere.
The Emperor...
Sorry, go ahead, Emma.
I just found out the Emperor's new clothes was based on a Hans Christian Andersen story. I didn't know that. Woo.
Cool.
It's a fact. It's a rock fact.
Random facts with Emily.
No.
Ultra Ranger's still alive, guys.
Yep.
Is
still alive.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening.
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird. Thanks very much.